This week, we're looking at Bridges That Last, and basically looking at the concept that when we have really strong spiritual practices, and we really truly know that spirit can be at the helm if we allow it, that life can actually be quite smooth in spite of what might be going on. I had a really great experience this week, and it had to do with being in a prayer and meditation class with people from all over the world, actually, that were studying to become Unity ministers. And I'm going through that same process because I'm a religious science minister and I'm working on getting my ordination in Unity. And so I'm there with this wonderful collection of individuals. And because many of them are from the United States, one of the things they wanted us to do was to pray for miraculous outcomes in terms of the election in the United States. And I remember thinking, you know, I'm far enough on this journey to know that I'm okay, and that life is okay, and that spirit is at the helm, and that everything that unfolds is good, in spite of what I may call it. And so my prayer was really to really bless that the highest and best for me and for everyone concerned is unfolding. There were a number of people that were in this class that still really wanted to focus on, well, we don't want this, but we want that. I was pleased to recognize that in my own spirituality, I'm in a place where I really trust God a whole lot more than I maybe even realized. How about you? Like, do you have a strong foundation, a strong bridge that allows you to go over top of challenges rather than to get stuck in the muck? Good question, isn't it? So let's reflect upon your own spiritual path and perhaps identify areas where you would like to focus to go deeper in your spiritual practice. So something that I had the opportunity to do, and that's what I'm going to share with you now, is let's do a spiritual assessment of where you might be in different areas of your life. And if you're interested, I can actually send you the document that you can do the spiritual assessment in full for yourself. And it's not to make anything wrong or make anything right, but just to realize where you might be on the spectrum of you've really got it handled or you're really still working on it. And it gives you sort of an idea of where you might do more in terms of your spiritual practice. So there are basically five disciplines in this spiritual self-assessment. And they have to do with communion, connection, compassion, community, and challenge. So communion begins with the idea that it's the first discipline, and it focuses on spiritual practices which heighten your awareness of your sacred calling and your personal relationship with a higher power. And I know you're already thinking, as I say that, about what is your personal calling and what is your personal relationship with spirit? And maybe the answers are already bubbling up for you. Or maybe some of these questions that I pose as we go along will give you a little more awareness. And I'm going to, at times, include Emilio in this, and just to see where he might be at. Because I know you want to know, right? So, first of all, what do you do to be in communion, for instance? So what are some of your spiritual practices to commune with the spirit within? For instance, I set aside time each day for my spiritual practice. So where would you say that you are on a spectrum from zero being, I don't do that at all, to let's say 10, I do it all the time, every day, even several times a day? So how about you, Emilio? Like, where are you in your setting time each day for your spiritual practice?
I get opportunities, I think, on a daily basis, nudges. And as far as discipline is concerned, I do take a quiet time, moments of quiet, to pray, to feel gratitude, and also when there's challenges throughout the day, to trust that it's all unfolding for the highest good. And that's where the stillness comes in. That's where the meditation practice sort of really helps to shift things
yes.
a lot quicker than it used to.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. And I'd like you to realize this idea that you're not going to be perfect at something right when you first start. And you're going to forget often, and that's okay. The thing is that as long as you, when you remember, go back to it. When you're noticing that you're just not feeling really great, what can you do in that moment to just, again, connect with the spirit within? So how about this statement? I am aware of my own spiritual gifts and how to use them for good. And again, I gave you a bit of a reflection there in terms of the idea of miraculous outcomes for the political situation in the United States. And when I'm aware that how I am being reflects out in the world, then I already know how to be. And being in that situation is trusting, loving, centered, and again, reaffirming my understanding of what God is and how God works. So there are seven gifts that we have: prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing compassion. And I'm going to bring up a Bible quote a little bit later that talks about these seven gifts. But, you know, when you talk about what is your sacred gift in those seven gifts, some people can see into the future and can really have a sense of no time limits. And so they can move back and forth from this now moment to what might be unfolding. Others, the gift is in serving. Others, it's in teaching or encouraging. And I know for me, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, showing compassion, and even prophesying, serving, all of them are to a certain degree. My biggest one, I think, really is in sharing what I have learned to say, you know, because there's one person, and it happens to be me, that can do something, then you as another human being, as another spiritual being, can also do what I do, probably even a way better job at it than I do. So how about you, Emilio? Would you say that there's any one of those seven spiritual gifts that would be your predominant one? Or would you say there's a few of them?
Let's see. Encouraging is good. Serving in the way that I sing.
Yes, oh, absolutely.
And there's a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah, it's interesting, right. When you start to look at it?
Yeah.
Like I would also say leading for you, because when you're singing, you are leading us into this place of love and joy and compassion. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, to lead is truly to serve, right?
Yeah. Or at least you hope so.
Yeah, I hope
because
so,
there
yeah.
are people who lead that don't care about serving.
That's true.
And that may be why they're looking for miraculous outcomes in the United States.
I don't know. I didn't say
I'm
that.
I'm praying
did
for
I?
Miraculous outcomes in the U.S., that's for sure.
Okay. So in Romans 12, 6 through 8, and this is a fairly long one because there are several verses here. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesize in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show compassion, do it cheerfully. And that's from Romans. So how cool is that? So if you haven't opened your Bible lately, there's some real wonderful nuggets in there that you might really enjoy. So what is your gift? And maybe something has come up for you, or maybe you feel that a little bit of all of these: prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, showing compassion, are them. I know some individuals who they are just 90% serving and giving. And I'm sure you can think of some of those as well. Maybe that's who you are. I mean, we need all of that to make the world go round. So connection. Let's look at this and see what do you do to be in connection? Healthy spiritual life involves connecting with others who are on a similar path and developing friendships with people who uplift and support you as you learn and grow together. So where are you in terms of having people in your life that are on a similar path to you and that you support each other, with zero being none and 10 being a lot? I know those of us that have spiritual community, that have friends that are like-minded, we have people in our lives. So where might you be on that spectrum? I am comfortable with who I am. So again, 0 to 10, where are you with that statement? I am comfortable with who I am. And I know that I'm very comfortable with who I am. It took me a long time to get here, and that's because being in front of people and being sort of the focus of attention took me a while to be comfortable with. I mean, I remember as a kid when we were learning how to do public speaking and we had to go in front of the entire school or whatever it was to practice, I would start hyperventilating and I couldn't even speak. I was so afraid that somehow I would make a mistake or I would stumble and fall or that people wouldn't like me because of what I said. But, you know, I had all kinds of things going on. I have done a lot of work to get to where I'm at today, and I must say, I am comfortable with who I am. How about you? Here's another one. I communicate directly with people when there is an issue to be addressed. I can be trusted with confidential information. I avoid gossip. The first part of that, I communicate directly with people when there is an issue to be addressed. There are times, depending on the degree of whatever it is that's been going on, I may have to step out of my emotion about it and then come from a calmer, more loving, more harmonious place. But generally speaking, I recognize that there's something in me that has created this upheaval. And as soon as I'm peaceful about it, it's really easy to speak about it. And I definitely can be trusted with confidential information. It's part of who I am and what I do. And I certainly don't gossip. I may speak about someone as a look how wonderful that is, or observe a behavior, but not from a standpoint of gossip. So how about you? I feel whole and complete with all my relationships. Now that has taken a while to get to. I mean, I wanted everyone to be my friend as I moved through life, and I hoped that everyone could at least be friendly. And I found that, and maybe this is the same for you, I really only have a handful of really intimate, close friends. And then I have a lot of people that are sort of in that next circle. They're more than acquaintances, they're friends, but I don't necessarily totally open up to them. And then there are individuals that just are acquaintances that are part of my interactions, but not necessarily someone I'm really intimate with. But I feel whole and complete in terms of all of those because I've created those relationships and have opened up to the individuals I felt safe with. So how about you? How about you, Emilio? Would you say that you're similar to me in the sense of some really close friends and then the circles kind of go out from there? Or
yes, I definitely feel that. I do have really close friends and friends that I've had for a long time, and I consider lifelong relationships, friendships. And then there's people that I just enjoy being with, right? Like and gravitate, and there's an ease with relating to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I think for most of the time I get what I put out. I want people to like me, in the beginning.
I like you.
I love you. But after a while, it's more about me liking myself and loving myself completely, unconditionally, and then sort of just showing up. I receive that. I experience that.
What a good segue into this next one, and it's about compassion and this idea of being compassionate with oneself and loving oneself. It's really a spiritual principle that how I treat myself, I get treated by the world out there. Boy, that's a big responsibility. And so if you are not being treated the way that you feel that you ought to be, then begin with yourself. If you are your own worst critic, maybe ease up on that a little bit. Lean into understanding and love and give yourself a hug instead. So what do you do to be in compassion? Compassion empowers us to bless others in their times of need and challenges us to be a light in the world and to seek ways to share our spiritual gifts with people in our lives. I think one of the biggest things that I had to learn was that unless somebody is asking for help, often that help may be rejected. I've learned to say, how can I support you? And if they say, well, there's really nothing you can do, or just being here is enough, or I'll let you know if there's anything, then at least I know how I can help. But if I jump in thinking that I know the best of what they might need, then I'm superimposing something that they may not even be in that place. Does that make sense for you? I'm definitely up close to 10 in terms of that kind of behavior with my compassion. And yet I'm in there 100%, like they say, like a dirty shirt, if in fact what I can do and how I can support is what's being called for. So I demonstrate that I care about the milestones, the sorrows, and the celebrations of people in my life. Absolutely. I don't know if you're that way, but there are certain events in my life that the people that are closest to me, if they get forgotten, I feel kind of sad. You know, like if you forget my birthday, Randy, you know, I would really feel sad. Or our anniversary, for instance. You know, he's looking at me, making a face at me. And he's just being a pickle again today. But anyway, so how are you in terms of that? Like, what do you expect when you have milestones, or when you're feeling sorrowful, or when you want to have celebrations? Do you want other people to be involved, or do you get involved in those kind of things with others? Where are you on that scale? So when I give freely and unconditionally. Yes. And that took me a while to learn too. And for a while I was making a lot of garments. I was making jackets and shirts and mainly tops, and making them for me, but also to give as gifts. I have a couple of women that I know that are larger women, and they have a difficult time finding things to fit them. And so it was really fun to make some of these things and then say, you know, if you would like this, I'm happy to give it to you. And if you don't want to use it, pass it on. Like, I had no attachment to it when I gave it. I remember a time back when Randy's mother was still alive, and she, bless her heart, sometimes had strings for the things that she would give, if you know what I mean. And she offered us this big whack of cash. It was like $118,000. She had won it in the Heart and Stroke Foundation's lottery, Randy? Yes. She had won it in the Heart and Stroke lottery, and she wanted to give it to Randy, but before she finished her sentence, she says, I would like to give you this money, but I would like to know on a regular basis what you're doing with it. And he was like, you know, Mom, you haven't traveled since Dad died. You haven't done all of the things that you want to do. I want you to use that money for yourself. And I want you to travel, and I want you to have a good time. I don't need that cash. And really, we didn't need it, but also we didn't need the stress that might have come from her analyzing absolutely everything that we were doing with it. So as a consequence, like, she traveled to Italy, she traveled to Spain, she traveled to France, she went to see the pyramids, she rode on a camel. Like, she did all kinds of fantastic things in the last 10 years of her life. It was just fantastic. Things that would have cost so much that she would never have spent because she was so frugal. But because she had this $118,000, it was like, woohoo, let's go. And it was great. So how about this statement? I use the challenges in my life as opportunities to learn, to grow, and to serve others. That one took me a while to get to. Where are you on that? Do you immediately see a challenge as being an opportunity to grow? Or do you just get, I mean, we're all at different levels in that, and it's okay. And even different situations, different challenges can bring up either a big reaction or not so big. So how about this story? There's a person who falls into a hole, and he can't get out. And he's yelling, help me, I'm in this hole and I can't get out. And a doctor comes by and throws down a prescription. And he looks at that and says, like, this isn't going to help me. And he keeps yelling, help me, I'm stuck in this hole and I can't get out. And a priest comes by and throws down a prayer. And he goes, okay, that's really great, but I'm still in this hole. Like, what am I going to do now? And keeps yelling, help me, somebody help me. I'm stuck in this hole. And his best friend comes by and looks down and jumps into the hole. And the person says, what are you doing in the hole here with me? Now we're both stuck here. And the friend says, I've been in this hole before, and I know how to get out. And so, what kind of a friend are you? And what have you gone through that maybe you're holding really tight to your chest because you're ashamed or you're embarrassed or it's just too sensitive to talk about, that really might help someone to see their way through a situation? So, community. What do you do to be in community? Community service demonstrates our understanding of spiritual principles at work in the world beyond the walls of our spiritual home and challenges us to boldly express our beliefs through service, even when confronted with opposing viewpoints. So, do you do community service in places where maybe the belief system of some of the individuals isn't the same as you? It's something to think about. I can communicate the spiritual principles I believe in, and I am comfortable sharing the story of my spiritual journey with others. That too, I was very tender about that initially, because I know that people are really sensitive about speaking about their faith, their religion, and that there can be a lot of conflicts around that. And my deep desire to be liked and to not create ripples caused me to really not talk about that sort of thing very much. Today, I certainly don't jump on the bandwagon and say, by the way, I'm a minister and can I tell you some stories? No, I'm very gentle about it and I allow the conversation to unfold naturally. But when it does, when someone says to me, how can you be so positive in this situation? Or what is it that gives you the strength to get through this? Then it opens a door for me to have that conversation. So where are you on that scale of being comfortable talking about your beliefs? I'm comfortable speaking about my spiritual beliefs, even in the presence of those beliefs that are different from my own. And this week I had a conversation with someone who said, you know, I'm really, as an introvert, these were her words, as an introvert, I'm really afraid to talk about my spiritual beliefs, first of all, because I don't normally, and secondly, if there's going to be confrontation, I don't even want to go there. And I get that. And yet, if you truly are anchored in believing that your life is better as a consequence of what you believe, and that someone is willing to at least hear what you have to say and that you're willing to hear what they have to say in the same spirit, then there becomes this really comfortable communication. So how about this one? My spiritual practice, love, forgiveness, compassion, is inclusive of those whose beliefs are different from mine. Absolutely. I believe in this phrase, unconditional positive regard, that I believe everyone ultimately wants to be happy. And so in that, how can I support them in their journey, even if their beliefs are different than mine? How about this one? I encourage and inspire others by sharing how spiritual principles are working through my life. Well, it's a natural consequence of the kind of work I do. And when I do interact with others, there are statements that I make that are some of the spiritual statements, like thoughts are things, words have wings, what you focus on grows. Those are all my ways of kind of telling someone that this is what I believe, and often don't have them put up a wall. They think about that and go, yeah, like I believe that too. So challenge. What do you do to be in challenge? Now this one's an interesting one. The path of spiritual growth is to be willing to challenge yourself through ongoing study and contemplation, and involves the willingness to stretch and grow while consistently expanding your understanding of spiritual principles. Now I know that you're watching this right now because you are constantly looking for, how can I awaken more? How can I understand my own connection to spirit more? How can I challenge status quo? Or I'm feeling challenged and learning something new may actually alleviate the challenge. I know you're already doing that to some degree. I write down my intentions and goals for my spiritual development and consistently share them with someone I trust. I do that. And I find when we take classes, we tend to also do that in spiritual classes, where we share where we're headed and how we're doing. I have people I can turn to when I feel challenged by life, who support me in being the best that I can be. And that's that intimate circle of friends, isn't it? And your spiritual community. My spiritual beliefs consistently guide me in the decisions I make. My actions are consistent with my values. I value the knowledge that I know spirit is right here where I am, and that everything's always going to turn out. My finances reflect my spiritual beliefs. I tithe to organizations and or individuals that nourish my spirit. I give consistently to Unity Spiritual Center, for instance, because it makes my heart sing to know that this is a place where not only I can grow spiritually, but anyone that comes here or sees our broadcasts can have the opportunity to grow spiritually. So I give generously because it makes a difference in the world. I regularly assess progress in my spiritual growth. And yes, I do. Especially whenever I have challenges, I look at, okay, how did I handle that? How am I doing in terms of my spirituality? So what do you do to be? Gifts are great, but it's more important to know how to love. Spirit has given us love as a gift. Love is the best gift. Love is what matters most. So if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would not have gained anything. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It always is hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. And all of that I just read to you is from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 10. Wasn't that beautiful? So how did you score? Fair, good, excellent? So we talked about communion, connection, compassion, community, and challenge. Know that you can send me an email to RevAnn@UnitySpiritualCenter.com, and I'll send you one of these assessments so you can do it for yourself. So bridges that last, that's how you create a bridge that lasts. So let's anchor this with the idea of One People by Maury Stearns.
There are no countries. There is just one family. There are no colors. Just one light in you and me. There are no reasons. We can't live in harmony. As just one people, in just one world, you and me. There is no freedom,
no, no freedom.
If the people cannot choose. There is no victory if my brother has to lose. There are no boundaries that mean more than being free. As just one people, in just one world, you and me. We are one people, one strong heartbeat, just one spirit shining bright within us all. We are part of one another, born to love each other. When it's all said and done, we are one. The time's upon us, and the healing must be done. The world around us is calling all to act as one. There are no causes greater than the world we see. We are just one people. There's just one world, you and me. We are one people, one strong heartbeat, just one spirit shining bright within us all. We are part of one another, born to love each other. When it's all said and done, we are one. Take a look deep into each other's eyes and tell me what you see. I see a spirit in disguise, just smiling back at me. Oh, we are the world around us, we are part of what we see. Every little thing that you do touches me. There is a vision that we all must realize. Think of the children, try to see it through their eyes. What will we leave them if we never learn to be? Just one people, just one world, you and me. We are one people, one strong heartbeat, just one spirit shining bright within us all. We are part of one another, born to love each other. When it's all said and done, we are one. When it's all said and done, we are one.